Welcome to the Jewelers Podcast, the podcast that talks to jewelers, retailers, and industry supporters about their experiences and insights into the jewelry industry. The Jewelers Podcast is part of the Jewelry Industry Network. Whether you're a jeweler, retailer, supplier, valuer, gemologist, teacher, or student, the Jewelry Industry Network is here to help you build your business in the jewelry industry. Join us today with a free membership at www.jewelryindustrynetwork.com. We can't wait to work with you. Welcome, everybody, to the next episode of the Jewelers Podcast. Brett and I are thrilled to be joined today by Lisa Robertson, who is the director and owner of Kadena Jewelers. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you both for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. How are you today?
Really good. All is going well in our end of the world.
Yes, we're very lucky.
We're very lucky
to be able to see your face too today on Zoom. And for those that don't know, we should tell everyone you're obviously in South Australia. Tell us more. Where is Kadena? Where do we find you?
We are about 2 hours north of Adelaide. So feeling very grateful because I know Victorians and New South Wales and Queensland as well are all doing it pretty tough. So we're about 2 hours north. We're in a really lovely regional area called the York Peninsula. And beautiful beaches near us and
great fishing.
Yeah, very good fishing. That's right. And great beaches.
Yeah, I've actually missed a few trips to Yorks recently. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to getting back up there soon.
We're very fortunate, and to be in such a safe little part of the world, I'm very grateful.
So tell us a bit about Kadena Jewelers, Lisa, and how it started and where it is today.
So we've got a bit of family history, which I'm sure you'll ask me about later. So I'll tell you, I'll leave it until you ask me. But we opened in 2009 and it's we opened in a side street in Kadena. It was a very small business, pretty much based off the back of Pandora in those days, that we knew that was sort of our safety net, and grew from there. And sort of a very quick history is that about 3 years ago we merged with our opposition, Russack Jewelers, who've been in business for well over 80 years. Merged the two businesses. It's been a beautiful family transition. We've been really fortunate to have Mark Russack stay with us, and he's still on the bench. And we're the only jeweler in the town or in within the Copper Coast at the moment. And we've got a really good manufacturing, watchmaking, and retail jewelry store in operation.
Awesome. So do you have a jeweler and a watchmaker in store, do you?
Mark is a watchmaker, but he does quite a few bench repairs. On he's not a qualified jeweler, but he's pretty darn good at it. So we're very fortunate to have him on the bench most days with us.
Yeah, handy person to have in the shop.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've been really lucky to have him and, you know, obviously very experienced as well. So, you know, it's definitely been a great partnership going forward with him.
Before you merged, did you have a bench jeweler at Kadena?
No, we didn't. We were very much just retail focused. So the business, it's actually quite interesting, like merging the two businesses, we've ended up with one completely different business to both of them. You know, like we've gone what I would have thought we would have ended up as, it's just completely different, which is, you know, probably with the history of the times over the last couple of years, things have changed so considerably as well. But it's just ended up being a really good, solid family business with, we've now got manufacturing. To have a watchmaker on the bench is a real privilege as well, of course, because, you know, there's not many of those around these days. It's just a really lovely family retail business that hopefully will continue for many more years to come.
Yeah.
Did it take much of a mind shift when you merge two companies, which from what it sounds like, one was more retail and one possibly more...
Yeah. They were very, they were really different businesses. And we both sort of came from very different directions. And that's what I mean. We've sort of met somewhere else, you know, that you wouldn't have expected it to be, but it's been great for both sides of the business and really grown beyond where I thought we would be, to be really honest. It's been fantastic. So, to have the ongoing family side of it is just the best part of it. Different skill sets have come together and it's been really good. You can't beat those years of experience either, of course. So, we're very fortunate.
How do you work with Mark, having had him as a competing manager?
He's an absolute gentleman. So that was never a problem. Like, we were in opposition, but because our businesses were so different, we weren't going head to head because their clientele was a really different clientele to ours. And now that we've sort of managed to merge the two together, it's just been a really good coming together of both different customer bases and the best for both, the best of all worlds, I guess, that we've managed to combine. So yeah, no, there was no adversity. It was, you know, it was always pleasant. It was never, you know, there was never any enemies or anything like that. But yeah, it's just been a lovely merger. It's been really good.
It must be nice to have his experience as well, having had that managerial experience as well and running a store. Yeah. You know, have him to back you up in those sorts of things too.
Exactly. And because he's got so many years of knowledge, you know, for him to have someone like that with you, working with you, is just a privilege. It really is, because there's things that, and, you know, we all know that you see something new every day. And to have somebody who you can at least, you know, get a bit of insight from about how to go about something, it's been really good. So it's given me a good learning curve as well, which is nice.
Yeah. And you obviously reiterate there quite a bit on about being a family business. You're previously working with your dad, and from what I understand, your daughter now works with you as well. Bring its own challenges?
She was. My son is now working with us. She's gone. She hasn't gone. She's gone. She's moved to Adelaide. But now I have my son, and he's working as an engraver for us. So that's been really good. He'll probably go to Adelaide next year as well. So, you know, things will change again. But it's been really lovely to have both of the kids involved. And we've also taken on a partner recently. So she's in her 20s, Charlotte, and another long-standing family within the community. So for us, it's growing not just the business and having a succession plan, but it's growing our family a little bit too. And it means that Mark and I can both support her as she learns more through the store and pass on our knowledge. And, you know, we'd never leave her in the lurch. So I think it's a really nice way to transition the business into the next generation. So
I love that. I think that's fantastic that you've been able to build this succession plan by bringing her in, because so many businesses that are, you know, family businesses and in your position don't necessarily have anybody to pass them to, and then when it gets to the stage where they want to retire, there's no exit plan.
And I mean, I guess you guys have seen it through the industry as well. Most people now just have a closing down sale and disappear, and you know, we won't have to do that, which I'm really pleased about. It's good, and it gives me freedom, it gives her freedom, and we're able to delegate our roles to the things that we're both good at. So, you know, work to our strong points, and, you know, having a younger generation in the business is definitely a positive, like, without, you know, it just brings a different set of eyes, different perspective to the business. And I think that's great that we can go across the board that way, you know, retain our older customers, but bring the newer ones in too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So tell us more about Charlotte then. How did she come into your business, since she is outside the family?
Yeah, well, Charlotte I have known since she was very young, and her mum, her family have always been good customers of ours. And when she left school, she decided to have a gap year and not head to uni. So she initially started as a casual sales assistant with us, and just, you know, absorbed the role, fell into it, and is really passionate about everything. You know, she's been a gift. So to have someone with that passion fall into your lap is, you know, almost
unheard of.
Happen. Yeah, that's right. So that's why, you know, we've made a real point of making sure that she stays with us, because we want her to, you know, be a winner out of it all as well. We don't want to just have her feeling like she's not part of it. So this has been a real, really good growing area for all of us.
You talked a bit about your family business and obviously how you've had, you know, obviously Charlotte's now new part of the family, but obviously your kids involved, and, you know, you used to work with your dad. From your perspective, how do you make that work? Because it's so challenging to fit your family business together. How does it work for you guys?
Well, it is challenging, and I'm not going to pretend. So the family history is that my dad had many stores going back 40 years. He was one of the founding members of Chronogem back in the day. So he's been heavily involved in the industry for almost my whole life. So, you know, he's been my business partner in this business as well. And there's always perhaps we agree to disagree on a few things, but honestly, it's great to be able to have other people to bounce off of and get different perspectives. So yeah, things have changed obviously in 40 years, but a lot of the basics stay the same, and it's nice to have that history that you can look back on. And you know, we all get on very well. We are fortunate, I'll say that, touching wood. But you know, I'm not saying we agree on everything, but we've never had any you know, bad disagreements on anything either. So you know, we all work very well together, and I know how lucky we are to have that, because lots of families don't. You know, especially when you look at sort of what I consider the current jewelry family, you know, we are all coming from different directions, but somehow it all works out and we all gel together really well. So yeah,
stay friends at the dinner table.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems to be the right mix of personality types, I think, because we work in such close environments. You're more or less on top of each other in a jewelry shop and workshop. So true. I think that as long as there's an understanding and good leadership from the top, that filters down throughout the whole business.
Well, and I also think it's, I mean, from my perspective, I try to be open to everybody else's ideas. I think if you, and you know, I've seen some older generations who just will not adapt their businesses. And if you're not adapting and reviewing your business, you know, especially in this day and age, you're not going to survive. So I think it's actually really, as long as you're open to listening, you don't have to agree on everything, but you need to listen to different suggestions and perceptions. And I think that's the key to working well together, is at least giving everyone the opportunity to put their versions of, you know, options forward, and then go from there. So that's how we've always been, and we'll continue that, so that everyone has an opportunity to be a part of it. So
So you're in regional South Australia, so 2 hours north of Adelaide or thereabouts. You've got a great community connection with Kadena. How important is it for Kadena Jewelry to have that connection and stay in touch with the community?
I think it's so important, and you know, if we've learned anything over the last couple of years, we've realized how important it is. Perhaps we didn't appreciate it before. In the current circumstances, I would say most people are shopping locally, which has been really good for all of the regional areas. But I think having those connections, and you can't beat that. Like, that is the stuff that matters. And you can look after people when they need it. You can help them out. And those things, it's pay it forward. I mean, I think that if you're looking after your local community, they do look after you. And, you know, you do get that reward from people in different ways.
Do you think there's a difference between how you would operate as a local, regional, the only jewelry store in town, to how another business perhaps in the CBD would operate?
Yeah, look, I think we're quite fortunate because we do know most of the people who are our customers. You know, even if you don't know them particularly well, you know you've got some sort of connection with them. I think in the city there's a lot more, it's a very different mode in the city, you know, like it's really very price driven and all the rest of it. And I'm not saying that doesn't matter here either, but other components come into play, and, you know, we can help out with the footy club and the netball club and all, you know, all of those things that are a part of the community. And people do appreciate those things, you know, that if they've, you know, got an extra engraving trophy that they need tomorrow, we'll get it done for them, you know, like, and that's just something that we're able to do, and we can turn as needed, which I think in the city it's a little bit harder to do, and the opposition's quite a different sort of kettle of fish to what we've got here, which is not to say we don't have opposition, you know, like, definitely being within 2 hours of Adelaide, there's definitely opposition.
Online.
Online. But, you know, to drive to Adelaide from where we are is really easy. But I think people, you know, I also think people are appreciating their smaller businesses now and understanding that without them, things are not going to be good, you know, that they need to look after their smaller businesses in their communities. And I think that's, if you can find an upside of COVID, I think that's it. Is that people are really looking after each other and being more thoughtful about what they do and where they do it.
So being in touch with the community, particularly during the pandemic time and through its peaks, and I know South Australia's had it a little bit easier than some of the other regions, have you had to be creative to stay in touch with the local community?
We have been very much better off than many of the others, but when the initial lockdown started, And look, we all went into panic mode. I think no one really knew what was coming or how to deal with it or anything. But we used to do a live Zoom on Fridays. So we have a cocktail hour where me and one or two of my staff members, we'd have a glass of wine, we'd get everyone to frock up, put their lippy on, and we'd do a live Zoom. Yep, and Kiara would play the guitar for us. And it was just intended to be fun and connecting. It wasn't intended to be anything else. We had so many customers engage with us from that, and it was just nice when everyone was feeling so overwhelmed and unsure of what was coming at us. It was a really nice way that we'd just spend an hour on a Friday afternoon, just all hanging out together, and it was really lovely. So that was a really good thing for us, and from that we created our own Facebook group, and it's been very successful. We've really enjoyed it. And when I say successful, I don't mean it from a sales perspective. Like, I don't measure it from that. I just measure it from a connection. And we try to look after those customers. We know who they are, and they still come in and ask us questions about things. And it's been lovely. It's been a really good experience.
Because I imagine the Friday drinks, like the knockoff CBD type scenario, wouldn't happen so much in the regional areas.
No, it really doesn't. And you know, but obviously people did used to go to the pub every now and then, but obviously when everything else went down. But this was just nice to connect with people, and you know, and to have, I mean, I was pretty lucky to have a guitarist and singer in my shop. Yeah. Not everyone has that, I know. No. It wasn't me.
Go on, give us a chance.
I'm not doing that, Laura. But yeah, like, it's just been, you know, a real blessing to have that connection within the community. And I think that's what we've all learned, is that really matters, that engagement and ongoing connection with people is what people want out of you, you know.
Yeah, I tuned in on a couple of them, and I loved that you were able to, because even though it was fun and it was, you know, entertaining and engaging, you were able to fuse in this jewelry side too. You know, dress up, you know, wear your jewelry, bring it out. And I thought that was a very clever way of, you know, being relevant to the business that you have, but also really connecting with your community and making them smile at a time which was really challenging for everybody. So I think you did a really good job with all of that.
Yeah, no, and look, we really enjoyed doing it too, and it just gave us an opportunity to talk to people, and we showed stock and all the rest of it. But it was really just about getting out of your trackies, getting out of your trackies, putting some
heels on.
Exactly, and people did. It was really nice. It was lovely. We'd get photos from our customers. It was really good. We loved it.
Are there strategies that you employed during COVID and during the worst of the pandemic that you think you'll continue in the business?
Look, I don't think, honestly, I don't think we changed how we operated hugely. We did certainly up the digital component for sure. We took the time during lockdown, we upgraded our website and all of the things that you, as you well know, Laura, we have been talking about doing for a very long time and hadn't made a priority. So that we certainly upgraded the digital component of everything. But you know, from the actual beyond that, in the actual business side, we're pretty much running as we always have. And the click and collect was always a component in it, but obviously that's become more and more a part of, you know, integral to the business. And I just think, you know, any social media platforms you just have to be a part of now. It's not an option not to be, regardless of COVID or anything like that. You know, that it's just integral. Like, you cannot operate without those platforms. And people who say they're not doing it because they don't know how, you have to learn how, or you know, subcontract it out or do something. You can't just pretend it doesn't matter, because it does.
Absolutely, yeah, it's important.
Yeah, and did you notice, because your website's actually really quite good, there's a lot of good information there. I did have a little stalk on there earlier today, and I was quite impressed with what I saw. And did you notice a spike in sales over the last 18 months or so?
Yeah, we have, definitely, for sure. Like, the upgrading the site was, you know, it was much, like I said, it was long overdue, and we needed to make it a priority, which we finally did. And I have a staff member who maintains it for me. And, you know, it is a job. It's a job in itself. You know, like, I think maybe that's the thing that people need to be aware of. It's not something you can just do sort of behind the scenes every now and then. You do need to maintain it well. So we've switched, that is one of the things we've switched around, is that we've given that a lot more priority and time. And even if they don't buy from the website, they definitely shop before they come into the shop now. So they may not purchase online, but they'll definitely come in with showing me a screenshot of something or asking about something they've seen online, and they've investigated it prior to entering the store. And I think most people shop like that now in all industries. Yeah. I don't think that's unusual.
Yeah, I 100% agree. That's certainly my experience as well. And I think people underestimate how much work is involved with remaining consistent online too, and keeping up with it, like the Instagram, the Facebook, whatever. The algorithms are a killer. You've got to be on there constantly, or you're just left behind.
Well, as I said, I've got a staff member, and pretty much that's her full-time job now, is doing that, which I know is a luxury that not everyone can afford, but it generates enough income to pay her. So, and I think if you're not doing that, you just do not get the business. I don't think you can measure it by your online sales, but I think that just knowing what people say when they come in now, they've definitely shopped online before they've entered the store, and that's what matters. So you need to have it up to speed. And the other thing I'll say that when we sort of put everything together, we want the website experience to match the shop experience. We don't have stock, generally speaking, we don't have stock on there that we don't keep in store. I know people have whole ranges and things like that, and I get it, like I understand how it works, but I just found that the minute you started doing that, they'd try and do a click and collect and then be in the next day, and then we don't have, if you don't have that range in store and all the rest of it. So as much as possible, we try to match the stock that's online to our in-store stock and also our experience. Like we try to match whatever we would do for a customer online, we try to match in store so that we don't have that difference between the two, because, you know, we care as much about our in-store customers as we do about our online customers. And we try not to give anyone sort of preferential treatment. We want everybody to be treated well.
Love it. That's really good. I think the other really interesting point about, like what you were talking earlier about Charlotte coming in, and she's now that next generation who's going to bring in younger people, the same applies to your social media strategy too, in that, you know, if you've got a younger person in store who's doing that posting, then even if they don't buy straight away, you're recruiting that next customer to start to follow you, to start to love you, to start to want to buy from you. And that's crucial.
And we've always had that as a strategy anyway. Like I've always welcomed school kids into the shop. You know, some shops are very much like leave your school bag at the door and don't come in and all that sort of thing. We've never been like that, because to me, that's the next generation coming through. So I want to look after them with their silver earrings now, so that when they, you know, get to the point where they're buying an engagement ring or a wedding ring or an eternity ring, they've spent enough time with us that they're comfortable coming in and having a chat. And I think sometimes that exclusion stops people from coming in. You know, as they get older, they are not comfortable. And we've always tried to make our shop very welcoming to everybody and inclusive. So that's, and you're right, having that younger generation come in, you know, Charlotte's already coming up with some strategies that would not even have thought of, like, for instance, TikTok.
I was going to ask, are you on TikTok?
Well, my son has done an engraving TikTok, which I'll have to send you the link. I haven't even seen it. Well, I've seen the raw version. I haven't seen it. I am not on TikTok. That's the thing, but that has to happen organically. I can't. If I started doing it, I think everyone would just laugh their heads off. So that's where it's good having them working. And they're a really good little team working together as well with the age group. You know, having that happen has been really good. And they've just got a whole different perspective on the world, which you need, because it changes every 5 minutes on social media and platforms and all of those things. So
yeah, absolutely.
Well, talking about things changing, like, let's talk a little bit about trends too, like, particularly not being a CBD type jeweler, like, how do you keep up with trends, and what do you see coming for this year's trends as we start to head into summer and towards Christmas?
Well, without question, the best aspect of our business is being part of the buying group, Independent Jewelers Collective. And the reason for a buying group, as far as I'm concerned, is the people. You go where the people are, because it just gives you connections to all of, not just other members, but other suppliers and things like that, particularly in the current circumstances when we can't even go to a trade fair, to get the info between the stores and the other members has been, you know, gold for us. But we've always tried to connect with our suppliers, and we're lucky enough that we are only a couple of hours out of Adelaide. So if reps are coming into South Australia, we do get to see most of them. So, you know, that's been really good. But yeah, look, staying on trend, I think in a country store, it would be really easy to just go into your little bubble and not speak mm-hmm. to people and not be connected to those things. But the buying group just opens so many doors for you. And, you know, even if it's not your cup of tea, you get exposed to things that you perhaps wouldn't see otherwise. And even going to a trade fair, like, it's really easy to walk past something and not look at it. Whereas if something's given, like, shown to you in a presentation, or someone's recommended something, you do pay more attention to it, for sure. Like, you know, so we've been very fortunate. There's a bit of a history between the buying groups, but, you know, currently we're very happy with the IJC, and, you know, Josh has got so many years of experience. The marketing is next level. So that makes a huge difference for us. If I had to do all of that by myself in a regional store, I couldn't do it all. You know, you can't tap into those resources on your own. It would just be beyond both time and cost would be just ineffective. So yeah, we're really lucky to be a part of a group that is so forward thinking. And, you know, they tell me things I didn't even know I needed. So that's cool. That's good. You know, and that's the thing, and that's what you want, is that, you know, you do get immersed in your day-to-day business life and carry on. And you're not across every avenue in the world, and, you know, you can't be.
About that, even that from like a business perspective, what's the hardest part? Which element of business management is the most taxing for you guys?
I personally, I'm not across the more the government regulations, and I'm not talking about the COVID stuff, I'm talking about like superannuation and all that sort of thing. And I'm, you know, to have that sort of, those sort of resources where you can tap into someone who can give you that information. I'm just using that as an example, like there's many other parts of it, but, you know, those are the things that, first of all, they don't interest me. So, you know, yes, I'm going to look at a new jewellery range. No, I'm not going to read up on the current superannuation rules, you know. But to be able to check those things as you go and have the resources to do it, I think that's what really makes a difference, is that you can be across the board. And I should say with COVID rules as well, like, I think that's another thing, because that's changing so quickly and so rapidly in each state. I think that having people on board who, not only from the group perspective, but from the members' perspective, that you can actually speak to and get some information from and know who to call, you know, like, everyone is good at their own sort of area. I think that's the win in that situation, is that you've got people on tap who are more than happy to help you out, and that's their area of expertise that you wouldn't necessarily have access to otherwise. You know, I've got really good friends, you know, in far northern Queensland that I wouldn't meet them any other way. Yeah. So, you know, that's just a bonus to the group, I think, having those people there with different skill sets that they're willing to share.
So what's on your top list of pieces to buy for your Christmas window?
Oh, that's a good question, Laura. I've actually just done a bit. we actually had this conversation yesterday about what's in vogue for Christmas. We are thinking that earrings are going to come back in again. But also rings. We're getting a lot of the finer stackable sort of rings, and like with the different shaped stones. So we've gone a bit hard on those. So baguettes and things like that are just a little bit out of the ordinary, but very fine still. So I think, you know, the younger girls are confident wearing them, whereas, you know, some of the heavier jewellery. Definitely nothing heavy. That's what I will say. I think it's really the finer, lighter sort of jewellery, and, you know, the pretty, fine, elegant stuff, as opposed to the statement pieces. That's where I think we're headed this year.
Mm. Very fine chain, bracelets, one charm, nothing more.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, like a single baguette on a pendant, not like a tiny baguette, but really distinctly set so that you can see it. And yeah, I think that's where we're headed this year. So yeah, well, I hope we are.
Interesting. We'll ask you in January.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta say, the same sort of trends, I'm on the Gold Coast, and the same sort of trends certainly hitting here. Sometimes I think of it as a bit more of a bohemian look, but yeah, there's real exactly what you're saying, all the real fine settings and single stones and fancy shapes.
The fancy shaped stones I think are coming through, which I love. Like I'm, you know, I'm so over a halo set ring. It's so nice to see some new stuff coming through and a bit of colour. Like I think colour's starting to come through. Not heavy colour, just the lighter sort of still on the morganites and those sort of colours. And I'm finding that spinels and those sort of stones are starting to come through a bit more too, which I really like. It gives people a few different colour options that I think they're not even aware of those stones, you know, like all they know is the traditional stuff. So I think seeing some of those, you know, the teal sapphires and those sort of things have, you know, it's opened up the doors for a lot of other things. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some of our suppliers are concentrating on those sorts of ranges, like beautiful spinel specific ranges. And that's helping, I think.
And we're finding like multicolored things are coming through too, which I really like. So yeah, so it's nice to see a few different things starting to come through. And that's where I think like Christmas shopping is going to be this year, is they'll be buying themselves a treat. Like it won't be, they've done all the basic, they've got the basic stuff, they've got their technology. I think now this year it will be, man, we have earned a lovely present. And I think that's what we're going to find over the next few months, is that, you know, people will be treating themselves as opposed to doing the, you know, stock standard stuff. So, yeah.
I hope so.
So do I, yeah. I'm treating myself.
Yeah, I just have to. But
I'm all about the for her, by her piece of jewellery, because that's a massive part of my market up here. It's that so ladies buying their own pieces. So.
Oh, same. Yeah, me too.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah, and I think that's probably one of the things that's happened over the years, is that people do buy their own things now, you know, like they, you know, they know what they like and they will look after themselves. And
they get sick of waiting. You drop all these hints, doesn't work. So you might as well buy it yourself. You
might as well do it yourself and be happy.
So what does Kadena Jewellers have planned for the future?
We're looking, obviously this is going to be a first year for Charlotte. So I'm hoping to give her some opportunities over, you know, hopefully the world opens up a bit more. I'm moving more into the design aspect of the business. She's moving more into the buying aspect of the business. I've been doing a lot of courses and things upskilling a bit lately on design stuff, which I'm loving. And we're getting some really big makes at the moment that, you know, we wouldn't have had because people can't travel. They're spending their money with us. And they want something significant, you know, which is beautiful. I'm currently working on a brooch. I've got a lady turning 80 and she wants a diamond brooch. And when we did the initial design for her, her budget has doubled since then, because we did 10 and 20 pointers in the brooch and they weren't big enough. So now it's 50 and 60 pointers in this diamond brooch. And I know. And it's just, but it's, she's beautiful and it's amazing. And her husband's like, well, enjoy your life. Yeah. And, you know, if you're turning 80, you should get whatever you want, I reckon.
I was going to say, it's now or never.
But, you know, those are the designs that we would never have seen 5 years ago. They just wouldn't have even been, they wouldn't have come to our store for them. And I don't, well, I mean, they were spending money other places, I'm sure. But, you know, that I'm getting the opportunity to do those designs is just my favourite thing in the whole world. So, yeah, so I guess we'll just have a few role restructures as we go forward. I'll give Charlotte a bit more responsibility and it'll give her, you know, some learning curves to go down that path as well. Hopefully, if courses open up again, she'll get to go and do a few of those. And I'll continue down the design path. So, you know, that's sort of the plan for the immediate future anyway, and see how we go from there.
So you're upskilling via the internet? You're doing that online? Or?
Yeah, I'm actually doing a course at the moment with a designer in Italy, which, awesome. You know, we wouldn't have even thought about doing 2 years ago, would we? Yeah, so I do one-on-one with her two hours a week. So it's been great. I'm loving it and I've learned so much. You know, it's sort of like you know, I've done a lot of courses over the years and this is sort of bringing all of those design courses together. And I've just upped the skill level considerably given, you know, where I was before. Loving it, really loving it. Yeah. So, and doing things I wouldn't have even thought I was capable. Wouldn't have even tried to, I would not have tried to design a diamond brooch a couple of years ago. I just wouldn't. I would have sourced it, you know, given it to someone else to design for me. So, you know, to do those things is great. So, and hopefully, you know, I'll get better as we go forward and get more opportunities as we go forward. Yeah.
It's all practice. And as you start doing more, that brings in more of that clientele because they see
it. Exactly. Yeah. And it's word of mouth up here very much as well. I mean, that's the other thing, is that, you know, as especially in a community like ours, it is very much word of mouth. But
and it's actually special too that it's been designed by somebody in the community. I know. That's really special. So, yeah.
And she's just been a dream to work with, you know, like that, you know. But I love designing anyway. So, you know, to be just to get to be able to make something like that so special for somebody, yeah, really loving all of that. So hopefully we'll get more of that work over the next few years as well, and that will continue to grow. That's where I want us to grow in that direction. So yeah.
Outside of your clear love for design and designing, what's your favorite part of running Kadena Jewels?
Buying is my other favorite thing. My husband pays the bills and I spend the money. Yeah, look, I love looking at new ranges, like, you know, and we're so lucky, aren't we? Like, you know, what a rough day you've got, you know, people bringing their diamond rings to show you. But yeah, I always love buying and seeing new ranges and seeing what's out there. And, you know, if anything, you know, we haven't had enough of that over the last couple of years. But, you know, again, people have turned. We Zoom, we talk to people, they send me photos of things. You know, people get around, they figure out how to do it. And we're still getting stock, we're still getting things through, we're still getting new ranges. So, which was always my concern, you know, when all of this started, how are we going to get new ranges and is anyone going to have anything to make? Like, how is the manufacturing going to work? But it's like anything, isn't it? Everyone's just figured out a way of doing it, and it's still working one way or another. Maybe not in the way we would have chosen, but that's okay. Everyone adapts.
That's right. Grow, change every day.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I mean, all business is like that, isn't it? I suppose that's probably one of the things that I've done since we opened, is I've always reviewed what we're doing. We've never stopped adding to the business. We've never just been open the doors and get on with whatever is going on. I've always looked to what can we do next, how do we do it, and all the rest of it. And we'll continue like that, you know, because you just can't be complacent. You just cannot. The days of just unlocking your front door are long gone. You know, you need to be doing things and connecting with people.
Yeah, well, Lisa, it's been so nice to talk to you. Super easy chat, super informal. And, yeah, it was really nice to have a peek behind the curtain and see what's going on at Kadena out there and all the changes that are happening and, yeah, the success of the business. It's really interesting. And I didn't touch on it before, but to hear that your son's engraving too, because that's another dying craft. Yeah. That's awesome. I'm stoked to hear that. Yeah, it was wonderful to talk to you today. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's been lovely to actually chat about things, and we'll talk to you again soon. And the podcast's going really well, guys. Really enjoying it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Okay. See ya.
Bye, Liz.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure that you hit subscribe on your favourite podcast player, and feel free to follow us on all of our socials. We're on Instagram and Facebook.